Are you looking to invest in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, or Litecoin? GV Computers, a trusted name in computer and cybersecurity, can help you buy or sell cryptocurrency easily and safely. Contact them by phone at 888-844-7806. If you are just getting your feet wet in Bitcoin, the friendly staff at GV will be happy to answer all your questions. Good evening. I'm still reporting on the coup. I know some of you think that I'm being too wild with this talk of a coup. Well, those same people thought that I was nutty to claim that a totally unrecognized group of voters would charge to the polls and elect Trump despite unprecedented voter fraud, election fraud, fake polls, and an MSM deck that was totally stacked against him. Well, they did, and I named them the monster vote. As a result, I was the only one to predict that Trump would win in an Electoral College landslide with over 300 Electoral College votes. Evangelist Rodney Howard Brown has been holding a week-long prayer meeting at Constitution Hall, just down 17th Street from the White House, around this time of year for several years to pray for the president. And yes, that meant Obama too. This year, President Trump invited he and his wife and 25 other pastors to visit him in the Oval Office. The rest, as they say, became history. Pastor Rodney took this picture with his cell phone camera, and it went viral. I'm sorry this is so long. I'll cut what I can, if I can, but I was fascinated with every word. He tells a riveting story about a plot to take out President Trump. The implication clearly is that he means an assassination plot.
So, actually, in fact, it feels like home when we're in the Constitution Hall. We've been there so long now, and we're booking already for next year. We're going to be going back. Who's coming to help us next year in D.C.? So I think we should just take buses from the church. We already have a team in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're starting tonight in the great meeting in Pittsburgh through Friday night. So let me tell you what happened Monday. We went to the White House at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we really were meeting with people from the administration from 9 to 4:30. So the whole day there were 27 leaders, my wife, myself, and 25 others, and they would come brief us. We would ask questions, and so we had lunch. After lunch, Jared Kushner came in, the president's son-in-law. So we talked to him, and he had to go back and do, you know, what he was doing. And about an hour later, in comes Vice President Pence, walks right in the room, and behind him was Jared Kushner. And he said, well, I saw him first. I stood right up. I thought, the Vice President, something's happening. And because none of this was scheduled. Nothing was planned. We were just in meetings. We had no clue that we would end up seeing the President. It was not something that was scheduled. And so the Vice President said, I was in the Oval Office. Jared came in and he said that he was just with you. And I said, I was going to come over here. And the president said, no, you got to bring him down to the Oval Office. So he said, you want to go? Well, everybody stood up and just started following the vice president. We went down, leaving the executive building, going into the West Wing. And, I have everything on film. Obviously, I can't release the film because I was not authorized to do so. But we do have pictures of what took place. So let's put that up, the pictures of what happened. Now, let me just say something here. So when we walked in, the president's like he always is, just happy. He was joking around, talking to all the ministers that were there. And Pastor Paula White said, look, Mr. President, before we leave, we'd like to pray for you. And he said, I would love that. He didn't ask for prayer like the media say, a president calls for prayer in the time of the crisis. That was not how it happened. Pastor Paula said, we'd love to pray for you. He said, I'd love that. So before we left, Pastor Paula asked one of the other ministers to pray and asked me to pray. Now, that was from my camera, and you could see my hand and my wife's hand because I screenshotted that from the video. And so let me tell you, it was very surreal for us to come from Africa. Listen, I'm an African. I come from the East Coast of Southern Africa. We come as missionaries to America, and now 30 and a half years later, we're standing in the Oval Office about to lay hands on the President of the United States of America. You can't imagine. It was a very surreal moment. And I, when I began to pray, the power of God came. I was shaking. I was shaking under the power. So I didn't even understand why I prayed, because it was a radical prayer. I said, Father, we pray for our president, for your hand upon him. Let every evil attack against him. And I just started praying for his protection, just praying for his protection. So that photograph went viral just on our Facebook alone. 2 million people have seen that. And then the media picked it up. The Mail in London picked it up. It went to Southern Africa. It went all over the place. For the most part, it was positive. It was Communist News Network didn't like it. They said it was really freaky that we were laying hands on the president. But let me tell you what that picture did. It brought to the forefront, number one, prayer, and number two, the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. And so I had all the media just called. The last 3 days, the phone's been ringing off the hook. And of course, I just determined I wasn't going to do any interviews, especially with the mainstream media, because of just the way they handle the whole thing. But Vanity Fair did a great article. There were other great articles. And then there were some that were totally negative. They pulled up that we have the joy, you know, the Holy Ghost bartender. You know, they tried to mock us. But I'm not really worried about that, because I am a full-blown radical, on fire, Pentecostal, who believes in laying on of hands, casting out devils, and, you know, praying for the sick, and we believe in prosperity. So, you know, yes, all of those things. So, you know, but anyway, so I got a call on Friday from CBN, which is Pat Robertson, CBN News. So I want to play you the little interview that we did with that. So let's roll that, if we can, please.
Brown is an evangelist who came to America from South Africa in the mid-90s. He heads Revival Ministries International and in 1996 founded The River at Tampa Bay Church, where he still pastors with his wife, Adonica. Earlier this week, he gathered with other evangelical leaders in the Oval Office to pray for President Donald Trump. And he joins us now with more from Tampa. Pastor Howard Brown, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about, what was it like to be in the Oval Office? What was the atmosphere that they're like?
Well, it was very surreal for me. You know, we came to the country December of 1987. My wife, our three children, 5, 3, and 7 months, with $300. And then Revival broke out in 89, and we've been fighting for America ever since. So to suddenly be in the Oval Office with the president, it was very humbling and very surreal.
Wow. For such a time as this, no doubt. Well, what did you all talk about with the president?
Well, you know, first of all, we were in meetings from 9 to 4:30. So we'd been meeting with different members of the administration. After lunch, Vice President Mike Pence came in and he said, oh, I heard that you were here. And he said, the president requested that you come down to the Oval Office. So we all followed down from the executive building into the West Wing. And the president immediately greeted us. He wanted a photograph taken with us. And Pastor Paula White Cain said, Mr. President, we'd love to pray with you before you go. And he said, I would love that. And so he just basically talked about, you know, his speech in Warsaw and different things that are happening that he's facing. And so we probably spent about 20 minutes. And then Pastor Paula said, okay, we're going to pray. And so we laid hands on him. That picture that you saw was my ring and my hands and my wife's hand now is gone around the world. People are calling us. Some people that knew, they said, oh, those are your hands. But I actually took that picture from behind, standing behind the president. And it was a very humbling moment. You know, I prayed for him. I prayed protection on him. I prayed for supernatural wisdom. And I prayed against the enemy that's doing whatever they can to undermine, that if they dug a hole, they would fall in it themselves.
This prayer that happened, this is happening in the midst of a lot of negative media attention over Russia, as you know. How does the president appear to be handling the pressure in this nonstop Russia mania?
You know, firstly, you know, he's always handled pressure. You go back, his whole life has been about that, you know, upheaval. And I think it energizes him, you know. he seemed totally relaxed, was... he was very funny, and he didn't act like he was under the gun of anything. And, you know, obviously the media are going to spin everything the way they can. You know, in many instances, they're not really reporting the news. They're reporting a bias or agenda. And I think the American people see through all of that. I think they just see them as talking heads, and they're not really interested. People, it was not Russia that put President Trump in the White House. It was the American people that put President Trump in the White House. And fortunately, that we have an electoral college that gives each state equal representation. Otherwise, the 3 million extra people that voted in California would have decided the fate of America. So I see this as a last-minute reprieve for America and the church. This is the time for the body of Christ to arise as never before. We have to get vocal. It is crucial. Yeah. It is so crucial and such an urgency. You know, let me just say this. On Monday when we were there was the day of 9:30 of our meetings at the DAR Constitution Hall. We went in 2014, we went in 15, we went in 16, and then now we were there now for 7 days. So I rented Constitution Hall right by the White House because that was the closest we could get to the White House. And I remember in 2014, we stood for 15 nights, prayed over America, issued a restraining order, told the devil, you can't have this country, that God's going to give us a miracle. So I see President Trump as an answer to prayer to give America one last opportunity. I'm not speaking on behalf of all the people that were there that day. I'm just talking as me, a minister and a private citizen of this great America. You know, so I wanted to let you know we have to pray. You know, you could see the reaction to some of the people in the media saying how terrible it is that, you know, they laid hands on. But one thing I felt that the picture did, it emphasized prayer. And it emphasized the laying on of hands, which is something that we believe in from the Bible, you know, and that we should do exactly what the scripture says.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for reminding us of how important it is to pray for our president and our leaders for such a time as this. And we really appreciate you coming on and talking to us and sharing your experience there in the Oval Office. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown from Tampa, thanks so much for joining us.
And God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Now, they edited something out, which, you know, I'll tell you about what they edited out, because I made a statement about something that I'm going to share with you today, because we have to pray. I'm serious. I found out some things on Tuesday that are not good. We have to pray like never before. So I'm going to launch a prayer initiative this morning just to pray for the protection of the president. Now, let's show some of the other pictures, because we've got other pictures that were in the Oval Office. And we've got pictures, you know, yeah, go ahead and just, you can see Pastor Donick and myself right behind the president. I felt the Lord say, go stand behind him, because you're not on his side and you're not in front of him, you're behind him. So he actually didn't even know who prayed for him because I was behind him. He couldn't see who was praying. And that's the way that I wanted it. And when we walked out, Vice President was standing at the door, and I shook his hand. He said, where's your church? I said, Tampa, Florida. He said, I'd like to come to Tampa. I said, sir, you come on down. So, that actually was a good article. Photo surfaced. I tweeted them. I said, they weren't buried. What do you mean they surfaced? Photos surfaced. They weren't buried. These people. Always an angle. Always a photo surface. No. They didn't surface. Now as high as what Monday was, Tuesday was a low. Because I got to go into the Congress and spend 3 hours from 9:30 in the evening to 12:30 a.m. with one of the senior ranking members of Congress. And he told me, and of course this is what I said on CBN, but they cut it out, but I'm going to go public with this because we have to. He said, there is a plot on Capitol Hill to take the president out. I said, you mean by impeachment or by indictment? He said, no, to take him out. He will be removed suddenly from office. Well, you can read between the lines. I said, look, I said, that's not going to happen. He said, well, really, there's nothing we can do to stop it. I said, we are going to stop it because we're going to mobilize the body of Christ to pray. So listen, they started a war. You know, they are so upset about what's happening because when, since when last has the body of Christ had access into the White House? It wasn't that way under Reagan. They might come and go a little bit. It wasn't that way under Clinton. It wasn't that way under both Bushes. And it definitely wasn't that way under Obama. But we have a president that's opened the door for the body of Christ. And that is huge, whichever way you want to look at it. And let me tell you, you know, everybody's moaning Republican, Democrat. He actually is neither. He's basically a populist that the American people voted for. They put a businessman in the White House because things are so fouled up. Well, if you want to really see fouled up, go to Congress and go sit and talk to the, he's been there since 96. So he knows everything about what's going on. And I can tell you the games that are being played, how they're actually trying to set the president up. In every way. So, but when he told me what he said, that they're going to plan, they are planning, the talk on the Hill is the plan that suddenly he'll be removed. So what we're going to launch it today is a 24-hour prayer initiative to pray around the clock, and we do it across the nation, around the world, for the protection of the president. Listen, you know, we never did that when Clinton came into office. I agree with Clinton. We didn't do that when Bush came into office, and I surely don't agree with Bush. Hello. We didn't do that when Obama came into office. We prayed for people that were in leadership. And now these people are going out of their way to really try to do, it's all about the destruction of America. That's what it's about. And, you know, I've already taught you for many years about this, so I'm not going to go into the history lesson why we're in the condition we're in. But I will tell you this. We're going to pray, and God's going to intervene, and the Lord's going to protect him. And we're going to see what heaven wants done. And we're going to see another great spiritual awakening. Can you say amen? So I know we have a clipboard that we're going to send around for you to sign up. And by the time next Sunday starts with camp meeting, and this is all for the prayer initiative. Is that what that is? Okay. So if you can pass around, just sign up. And by the time camp meeting comes, we're going to put a big board up in the foyer where you can sign up, and people are going to be praying, and I'm going to put it on the internet, and then people can pray in Africa, because a lot of people, we got calls from Australia, we got calls from Europe, from Qatar, from India, from Africa, all about what they saw. And so people are praying. There's many people praying for our nation. They're praying for our president, and we're going to believe God. And that's why the message I'm preaching today is really going to be about praying for our leaders, because the devil wants to stir up anarchy. And we've got the media. All the media is owned by six companies, and they basically push the same narrative. So if the media like you and they push you, you get puffed. You know, they say, puff this one, and then they push them. If they don't like you, then everything will be negative. They'll put out an AP. It'll go on the AP, and it'll be the same narrative that'll be read in every newsroom across America, around the world. So they can slant you for whatever. They make up. I met a lady who helped us because we actually got a brief, and we actually getting to the president now. Adonik and I delivered it to someone who's going to deliver it to the president, a brief from inside the Congress, because there are people keeping the president separate from people that can actually help him. They're blocking all of his nominees. They're blocking all the people that are loyal to you and loyal to America. They're blocking it on every front. So we have to pray as never before. So my wife and I, when we finished up in the Congress, we looked at each other and said, how's the future of the free world resting on us? Because we have to communicate this, so it has to be communicated to the president what's actually going on. Because on Capitol Hill, if they want to destroy you, they're going to make up every kind of lie imaginable. It doesn't have to be the truth. It just has to get the agenda pushed. So, I mean, can you imagine that? How can people just make up stuff about other people? And so that's what they're doing. That's how Washington operates. It operates off of lies and obfuscation and disinformation and misinformation. And that's how the media operate, the exact same way. So we have to pray, church. I believe this is the hour of the church. God is raising up his people. Every one of you count for the harvest of souls that's coming in. And we're going to see another great spiritual awakening. Do you believe that? So, what my wife and I have been doing, now we're increasing it, but every time we sit down to a meal, before we bless and pray over the food, we pray over the president. Father, we thank you about President. Pray for supernatural wisdom on his life. Speak to him in the night hours. Be about him as a wall of fire. Let no harm and evil come nigh to him. And then, Father, we bless his fruit, our body. So that's what we do three times a day. But now I'm doing it every time I think about it. I mean, if I just think about it, I pray for him because I know what the plan is. You know, I don't have time to go into the into what's actually going on. There's genuine people. Then you've got the neocon, the globalist. And then these are the people that are so upset about what's taking place because suddenly their agenda for America is being destroyed. Their plan for, you know, and everybody can say, well, it's a political thing. But guess what? They use that. They play games and they use the people as puppets. Basically, the masses suffer while they push their agenda. How many can see what's happening in Europe? You see what's taking place in Europe. France, by 2030, 2040, will be no more. Just by sheer population growth. Same as Italy. Same as Germany. Because it takes 2.6, not that I ever saw 0.6 of a person, but it takes 2.6 people to sustain a culture. And France and Italy and Germany, it's about 1.3. Well, guess what? The Muslims are having up to 8 kids. So even Muammar Gaddafi said this. He said, Allah has given us a great victory because just with even out firing a gun, we will take Europe by 2050. They'll take Europe. Europe will be Islamic by 2050. So we have to pray, people. This is not the hour to hide under bed and to hide in some corner somewhere and be afraid of, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. It's time to stand up. It's time to be bold. It's time to be vocal. Can you say amen? Yes, and it's time to be radical. And I'm so happy to be amongst radical people here at the River Tampa Bay Church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So are you happy, but you also realize that the gravity of what I just said. Okay. So I was all happy until I got to Congress. And then I walked away and said, oh my God, this is not good. So we're going to pray because we're going to see the hand of God undertaken our nation. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your hand upon America. Thank you for your hand upon this land. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful, Jesus. Wonderful, Jesus. Honey, come up here quickly. Just greet the people because I want you to just share a couple of things. I wish I could tell you what the president said. There's some amazing things that he said, but I cannot repeat his words because, you know, it's confidential. But I'll just tell you, whatever you see in the media, that's all I must say. Honey?
What Pastor Paula White has done is bring all of the church leaders together to be able to have an influence into government and to support and to pray, amen, and to galvanize the body of Christ, just like we're galvanizing you to pray and to stand for this nation. And, you know, there's many people that are very short-sighted, and they look at the man, and they criticize, and they magnify all the mistakes that he's made and all the flaws. Well, you know what? Maybe we don't have a King David, and even he messed up and had a guy murdered and took his wife. I mean, you know what? So he wasn't perfect either. But, you know, even if we had a Cyrus that was a man that stood in the world and yet that stood for the body of Christ, or really for Israel, but we're in the church dispensation, so a type and a shadow. Even if it was a Cyrus, but he's advancing the kingdom of God by doing away with the ungodly agenda and promoting a godly agenda. Amen. Hallelujah. And if for no other reason, you could just pray and trust God that he stays healthy and whole and in office. Amen. And completes the agenda that he started out with. Because there's many things that have already been done away with in the media. I don't want to tell you that because, you know what, they don't want to admit that they're actually going backwards and that their agenda is going backwards.
60% of the agenda has been nullified. 60%. 60%. 60%. Yeah.
And, you know, we have to look at these things that these that the leaders do, that the president does, that that Congress, the laws that Congress passes, and we have to say, is this better for America or not? And there's many people that are in leadership or even not out front but behind the scenes that are advancing an agenda that's an anti-American agenda. I mean, even in the schools, the indoctrination in the schools. Ah. Hallelujah. You know, and I really saw that in this election, that it was the Christians that stood up, because the majority of Christians have at least, you know, we at least get history. I mean, I homeschooled my kids and we learned American history. But in the public schools today, they do not teach history. They do not teach American history. They do not teach them to be proud of their history and proud of their country. They teach them, you're a global citizen. You're not an American citizen. Guess what? We were South Africans. We came over here. We paid the price. And now we are American citizens, and we appreciate it. And how many of you came from outside America? Hallelujah. You appreciate that citizenship. You appreciate, you know, being able to live here in this home of the free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Land of the free, home of the brave. And we love this nation. And
the devil's not going to have this country.
No.
I don't care. Listen, I don't care what he said. You know, and I have to say something, because I have been critical about Capitol Hill. But this congressman that I was with, he's been working there since 96. One of his children is autistic.
Down syndrome.
The other child is going blind. His other son's going blind. And he's only missed 4 weekends in all the years from being at home. And I looked in his office and I said to him, sir, you sleep here. You sleep in your office. He said, yeah. He said, I haven't had a pay raise in 11 years. And he said, we just don't have the finances to have another place. And he reads all the rules. So when we left at 12:30, there were three thick books. And he opened them. He said, I'm going to stop this. I'm stopping this. I'm stopping that. I'm stopping this. He said that. He told me we actually have to pray that this help bill they want to pass crashes, because it's got some stuff hidden in there that's going to make the president look bad. So, you know, we just have to pray that God intervenes. And, you know, we basically have to repeal it. We've got to just shut it down and start all over again. You know, there's just so much wicked. But there's this man living in his office. My heart went out to him. I grabbed him. We started praying for him. And anyway, he's been texting me because he watched us on Daystar from the 4th of July service. So, you know, God has put people in place to block and to stop the agenda of the enemy, you know. So we've got to pray, even as much as it really chokes me up to say, but we have to pray for our Congress, and we have to pray for the Senate. We've got to pray that God put godly people in office and that the wicked agenda is destroyed.
Well, you know, anytime people do things for a money motive, you know what, that it's going to go wrong. It's going to go south. And so this health care bill, not just, you know, because of the things that they've put in there, but you have to understand about Obamacare. Obamacare was put in place not for the people who don't have insurance.
And let me just say,
because
this,
there was another solution for that.
If Romney had gone in, it would have been Romneycare, which is almost similar. So there was no change.
Basically,
to it.
What it is, it's putting government in charge of health care. And we all know that they can't even function with what they do need to be functioning with and what they are in charge. Listen, government is there to protect the people, to make sure they protect us, and to make sure that we have the freedom to live, to run our businesses, to dream big dreams, to invent things, to create things, to do things. Amen. They're not there to stop you, to hinder you, to control you, to tax you to death. That is unrighteous. It is unrighteous. And so when people are pushing for more big government, you know that they do not have good plans for you. Amen. And if you look into the government as your solution and your answer, then you're looking in the wrong place. Because they'll promise the world, but where do they get it from? They get it from everybody else. They don't have anything to give. They got to steal it from someone else to give it to you.
And
amen.
There are people in Congress and even in the Senate that have never actually had a job in real life. They came straight into government, and that's all they know. And, of course, they have their hand in the cookie jar, because that's why they're not worried about the national debt that goes up, that's about to hit $20 trillion. And, you know, so when the congressman, he drew on a whiteboard, he showed me the different health care plans, what it's going to do. If this one comes in, what it's going to do, it's going to, you know, totally, I mean, not be better. You see, and then they lie to the president. Oh, this is a great health care. Well, he doesn't know. You know, that's what they're supposed to. Oh, we got a great health care. But they lied to him. You know, they lie to him on everything. They're lying.
The people are lying. The people who can come and tell him what's really going on are blocked.
They're blocked from seeing him. Because I said to the congressman, why didn't you see the president? He said, they stopped me. They stopped me from seeing him. Yeah. They? let's not go there. I'm not going to name names. But I can name names right now. I mean, there were people standing in the Oval Office that the headlines would have read. Listen, the headlines would have read. Pastor prays for the president, then knocks so-and-so through the window into the... I would have knocked. I had to control myself. No, I'm serious. I'm serious right now. I thought, hey, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. Whoo! Knock him through the window into the rose garden. I mean, so that's all. That's why we have to pray. And that's why we've got to pray. And,
you know, we've been fighting for this nation for 30 years. And really had this nation on our heart before we even got here, you know. And so it is frustrating when you watch people that are, you know, who have their own agenda and trying to work their own thing and not actually cared about America and about the people of America, just about their little deal and what they can get out of it. And
personally, if this healthcare thing is actually Ryan's bill, and it will give him $800 billion to play with. So that's what it's about. It's all about how they can annex money from the people to play and do the agenda. So we have to pray that God shuts down everything that's not good for America, that the Lord shuts it down, that nothing will succeed. Nothing will succeed in Jesus' name. And
pray for wisdom for the president, and that the right people have his ear, not the wrong people, but that the right people have his ear. And show him the ropes. You know what? He's a businessman. He knows nothing about politics. And honestly, that's why we voted for him, because he was the anti-politician. But now he needs some people around him that have some wisdom that can help him negotiate the shark waters that are out there for him. So keep praying for him. Please don't listen to the media. They keep trying to pump things up and say, oh, it's a crisis and he's angry and he's frustrated and his marriage is coming apart and all this garbage, and that's not true at all. Listen, it's a stressful, extremely stressful job, but we pray that he will be strengthened, that he'll have wise people around him, and that he will make the best decisions for America, for the Lord, for God's agenda, not for the devil's agenda. Yeah. Amen.
Tomorrow and Wednesday, I'll be anchoring the news at the Next News Network. See you there. I'm still reporting from Washington. Good day.